We need to unite and work together if we're all going to get through this.
Sounds like socialism to me.
The amount of people I see talking about socialism positively is actually staggering.
Do you think, do you really think that a proletarian revolution is just around the corner in America?
Grab your pitchforks and stab your mayor.
No hero Obama.
He's not my hero.
How heroic he does.
If Bernie Sanders were president, right, and he wanted to bring the same ideas for socialism into this country, do you think that we would benefit? But I just told you Venezuela's eating rats.
But I just want people to have health care. I don't want,
Same thing Hugo Chavez.
Oh my god.
You people have, worms in your brain, honestly.
All right. Welcome to this week's episode of the Sensible Socialist Podcast. I am your host, Kevin, and this is another kind of transition episode. I hadn't originally planned to have a conversation that I was going to have earlier this week, but my week got actually very busy, was helping out doing some other things, including helping out with a call with Mumi Abu-Jamal, which, if you know that whole backstory, that was pretty exciting. So what I wanted to do this week was just kind of talk about something that was part of the week that I'd had. The first thing would be that the part of the week that we have all had is that we heard about the cancellation of the treatment for his brain cancer and then the ultimate death of John McCain. And that's produced a lot of different reactions. You have the mainstream sort of media reaction, which is all praise and rehashing that whole maverick nonsense, I think. And but, you know, talking about him being a fighter pilot and getting shot down and all of that kind of stuff. And my feeling on it, full disclosure, maybe somewhat altered by the fact that my own grandfather was also a fighter pilot in Vietnam, and so I honestly do understand the moral hazard, to put it mildly, and disaster that was the Vietnam War, and I can appreciate the moral consequences of having a family member who participated, blah, 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 and having, you know, chosen to go to that war. But I also think at the same time, we can appreciate the physical and intellectual skill that someone would have to engage in those kinds of activities, whether or not those activities were being used for ill or for evil. And they, I think, were being used for evil. That being said, John McCain did, I think, what he thought was a service to his country, but he did think that the country was basically a new empire and should behave as such. I think John McCain bought hook, line, and sinker the notion that the United States is the shining city on the hill, and thought that if it had weapons at its disposal to be able to make sure that the ideas of the United States were protected and or sent out to the rest of the world, whether or not it be peaceful or otherwise, usually not otherwise, or usually, sorry, otherwise. I think that, John McCain ultimately had less good things than he has had bad things. In terms of what his policy proposals would ultimately produce for people with real consequences. And so there's lots been said about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's admiration in her sort of tweet about it. And of course, you know, the thoughts and whatever with family and blah, blah, blah. I think that one can understand that it sucks when someone close to you dies, even if what that person did or stood for produced a lot of bad things. That being said, we should not shy away from a genuine understanding of the bad things that that person did. So when it comes to John McCain, John McCain, crazy life, interesting person, ultimately not going to go well in history. So what I want to do next is really talk about what I really wanted to talk about, which is the new Boots Riley movie, Sorry to Bother You. And I had heard a lot of good things about this movie. Many people had told me to go to the movie, that it had a lot of critique of capitalist kind of undertones and a lot of things that leftist people and people interested in workers' rights and things like that would appreciate. So me and my wife and my roommates, and we went to the movie, and pretty excited, thinking this is, you know, going to be a movie that's right up our alley. I've seen a lot of different interviews with Boots Riley afterwards, both in his criticism of Spike Lee's movie, as well as just sort of talking to people and sort of making sure that people know that he's, you know, a communist, which I appreciate being honest about that. But at the same time, I went to see the movie, and I was given, I had given the previews and given what people had said in terms of the positive things about it, had thought it was going to be an interesting movie about the role of race and about the impact of the new precarious labor markets and sort of the consequences thereof, especially, you know, an added bonus of like race relations using white voice and things like that. So you know, to give you a perspective, here's what the trailer sounds like, and I'll kind of let you know what I thought about it.
Man, I'm just out here surviving, and what I'm doing right now won't even matter.
Oh, baby, it will always matter.
Oh! Thought you said you fixed that.
Get a room. I got a room, mother.
Hey, Cash, how much longer I gotta wait for my money?
God made this land for all of us. Greedy people like you wanna hog it to yourself and your family.
Me and my family?
Yeah.
Cassius, I'm your f***ing uncle.
I just really need a job.
40 on two.
This is telemarketing.
Stick to the script.
Hey, hello. Mr. Davison, Cassius Green here. Sorry to bother.
Let me give you a tip. You want to make some money here? Use your white voice.
My white voice?
I'm not talking about Will Smith's wife, like this young blood.
Hey, Mr. Kramer. This is Langston from Regalview.
As always, we'll be getting that out to you right away.
You're doing so good with the voice thing.
Holla, 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 holla,
holla. Oh, yeah. All right. Hell yeah.
You're going upstairs, Power Caller.
They even have their own elevator.
Welcome, Power Caller. I hope you did not masturbate today. We need you sharp and ready to go.
Hey, I'm Boots Riley, they murky, yeah. Gonna get you poppin' like Percocet. Got picked up, man, I ain't surfaced yet. Two-steppin' like the ball, this person check.
I got promoted.
I'm a Power Caller.
What did I sell?
They're not selling, but we selling.
No, well, there's no amount of money that'll make me do that.
Here's the starting salary. Well, man, I'm gonna have to get me some new suits.
Yeah, whatever I wear, no, I'm here to be clear.
It is morally emaciated.
I can't ride with you.
I'm doing something that I'm really good at.
Cash, I'm gonna make you a proposal. I can see that you want to say no, but I wouldn't do that before you see what I'm offering you. Cash, you are awesome.
Oh, yeah! All right!
All right, so that's the trailer, and to give a very quick sort of background, before I give a spoiler alert, because I am going to talk about the contents of the movie, even if you haven't seen the movie, just know that based on that preview, you might have a lot of ideas of what the movie may be about. And the things that you heard in the preview there were parts of the movie. They were not the plot lines. They were not the plot points. They in no way give you any idea as to what the movie actually is about. Now, that may be an intentional kind of thing on the producers, including Boots Riley. But I think that, you know, I guess you could say it's slightly misleading. The movie really captured my attention and got me interested up until the last, I'd say, about quarter of the movie. So this is where I'd say, okay, you know, flashing lights, spoiler alert, I am going to talk about where the movie goes and give a little bit of background. If you haven't seen it and wanna watch it, stop here, don't watch any more of it, and watch it, and then you can start at this part in the podcast and listen to the rest of it. Okay, so that being said, the movie, I think it's supposed to be basically a, you know, somewhat alternative, maybe future, or at least like pretty close to the present, where there has been a sort of new company called Worry Free. That the movie kind of opens with an ad for Worry Free, where they sort of show you that it's, you know, a place that the workers live on campus and they take care of your every needs, and all you do is work for Worry Free. And so you don't have to worry about rent or anything like that. There's a radical sort of group inside Worry Free that's called the Left Eye. So the movie follows Cassius Green, who, as you heard, lives in Terry Crews's basement. He is in the movie for, you know, a minute and a third, I think. It's not very long, but whatever. So Cassius is obviously having trouble. He's back on his rent, and he decides to get a job as a telemarketer and gets convinced that the only way that he's going to become somebody and go upstairs to be a power caller is to use a white voice. That white voice is voiced by David Cross. He ends up selling, I don't even know if they ever describe what it is that they're selling, but they're definitely, I guess, getting screwed. And so one thing they don't talk about at all in the preview is that there's this dude, Squeeze, who is a boss. He's the coolest character in the movie. He's organizing a union. He's the guy who sits by the water cooler and, like, kind of, you know, talks to everybody about how, like, fucked up the situation is. But Cassius is the super alienated worker who decides that he's going to keep on selling. But he's, you know, participates in some work stoppages and stuff, but he ends up getting the opportunity to become a power caller because his white voice is working so well. He does this despite there being a strike that happens against the company. So he's actually a scab. But he then realizes, well, when he becomes a power caller, he also learns that the company is selling basically weapons and labor from Worry Free to other companies and governments. And so he's got a little moment of crisis, but then he, you know, overcomes the uncertainty, wants to get paid. So he gets a new car, he pays off his uncle's house, but he kind of gets out of the union, and his girlfriend, who's also this like avant-garde artist, is part of this movement, but he can't really participate anymore, while she has this whole art show sideline where people throw phones at her or something. It's I don't know. So anyway, So that's like the first quarter of the, like the first three quarters of the movie. You're watching like this whole thing where like there's this union organizing and you got this scab who's actually the and becoming like involved in arms sales and labor sales, and he's already up in the power collar, so he could organize the power collars and we could have some interesting sort of things. He instead meets Steve Lift, who is the guy who is the CEO of Worry Free, and there's a like a one-on-one meeting, and Cash is offered this like what looks like coke, right? And he snorts it, and then eventually he goes to the bathroom, and then the movie takes a turn because what he finds is a what they call equisapien. Okay, an equisapien, half horse, half human hybrid. So then there's this kind of ridiculous conversation between Steve Lift and Cassius where he basically just describes the whole thing. And then he wants Cash to become one, and become like a false flag. And he's gonna give him, that was that whole like, wait till you see what I'm offering. And it's $100 million. And supposedly there's like some way of getting out of it that he can do after the 5 years is up. And so basically he realized like he goes on this reality show. That's right. Yeah, he goes on a reality show called I got the shit kicked out of me, where I guess people get the shit kicked out of them, and people really like to see it. But he was missing his phone, but he found the phone, and then there's a fucking video of the horse people. I'm gonna stop there again. Horse people who are complaining about what happens, and the sort of thing that's supposed to be super fucked up is that instead of it being some big scandal, it actually makes the company a lot of money, and then they try to get together, but then the horse people help them out, and he gets like knocked out by the cops, I guess, because they're involved in like the one last union protest, whatever. And then he gets knocked out, and he like wakes up, and it's the fucking horse people who are helping him. Then it just like goes to black, and then you wake up, and like everything's back to normal. It's like the horse people were never there, and then you sort of like, oh, hey, everything's cool, nothing's wrong, it's all good. And then Cash all of a sudden starts to become a fucking horse human. And then the last little bit is them knocking on Lyft's door and saying, sorry to bother you, right before they're about to like break down the door. So the movie starts by being this interesting critique of modern labor conditions and social frustrations that people have, and the idea that he has to use a white voice, bringing in the issues of race, and then he becomes like a scab, and like what is it like to be a scab even though you're getting a lot of money, and then it's about horse people that, without some kind of hybrid horse person that could overcome, I guess, the cops, there's no hope. So frankly, it pissed me off, because it seems to me that the ultimate moral of the story is like, hey, There's lots of stuff that's fucked up. It's probably going to get worse before it gets better. But don't worry, because there's going to be some breakthrough in, let's say, genetic technology that makes something like fucking horse people. And we're going to... They're gonna help lead the revolution. And so, is it that we're supposed to wait for someone like Elon Musk to really finally break and create fucking horse people? Do we have to let it get to the point where we can't rein in by doing the kind of organizing that Squeeze was doing? I mean, Squeeze gets so fucked in this movie. Like, he's doing all the fucking work, Cassius is a dickhead, and Cassius gets the ability to be the revolutionary leader because he turns into a fucking horse person because he wouldn't say no to coke by his fucked up boss. I don't get it. It bugged the piss out of me. I was just like, what the fuck? And I know this is very much different than a normal sensible socialist podcast, and maybe I'm not totally talking sensible, and I would very much be interested in what anyone had to think, like, despite this whole, or maybe the justification for using horse people. But I just thought that ruined what the movie could have been about. And I think what Boots Riley has done after the movie has come out and has portrayed some of the kind of things that exist in the first, you know, three quarters of the movie, I think that's good, and it's good the movie came out ultimately, and I'm not going to say that the movie is worthless, but I thought that the introduction of horse people seemed to me to be a bit lazy, frankly. That, you know, why can't we have a story where human beings do what human beings have done throughout history, which is when they find themselves in situations of oppression, they fight back in hopefully, and in many ways, the best way that you can, the way that is most effective to achieve that change. And in this story, what you have is the notion that until genetically modified humans are part of the equation, you know, it can't work. Or instead of showing how difficult it is when it's not about that kind of thing, and how you have to, even when you're making a lot of money and selling fucking people and weapons to other countries, like we are doing it to Yemen and other places, that it's harder. If it's some kind of crazy hybrid where you're doing that kind of thing to people, that's a crime against humanity. But, you know, capitalism isn't seen as a crime against humanity, even though it causes millions of people to die of starvation for no good reason. But the idea that we have to wait until some kind of major calamity like that has been it's just a frustrating thing to think about. Why does it have to get so bad that we would degenerate into something like creating fucking horse people for people to wake up and then for them to like go, oh yeah, this is, now it's gone too far? Isn't the idea that the major, like a significant number of people in the richest country in the world couldn't afford a $500 instant payment, that would wipe people out, that people my age, you know, in their early 30s and stuff, have nothing saved for retirement? You know, there's a lot of reasons to be pissed off already, and it doesn't need to get to fucking horse people before we should be mad enough and indignant enough to make some changes and start doing what Squeeze did in that movie, which is to organize a union at our workplaces. And you know what? We can even do better than unions. We could do co-ops. We should do that. But you know what? We're not going to do it by waiting around for fucking horse people. So I didn't like the movie, but I thought that it was brought up some good themes that were important, but I didn't like the ending. And if someone wants to tell me why they think that ending was good or useful, I'm all ears. All right, so with that, that's the short episode. I have a lot of good episodes coming up with a lot of good interviews. So stick tight and check it out. I recently figured out that the iTunes playlist was wrong and had some issues. So I have since fixed that. So they should be good. We're now on Stitcher. So if you're interested, you don't have to. There is a Patreon, Sensible Socialist. It's all the social media stuff. Check it out. All the episodes are also on YouTube. And I'll see you next week with a more interesting episode with an interview. So check it out at SensibleSocialist.com.